Amen.
As he was speaking, I was thinking about, you know, the things he was saying. So let's just see that he was describing the faith. Was it faith? Amen. The essence of faith, the effectiveness. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
To how to make faith effective, right? To make faith effective, you know, in Romans chapter 10, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this faith, what he was speaking about was just mainly when the faith becomes active. There's a season when faith becomes active. Every word you hear has its faith. Because if they say faith cometh by hearing, so it means that if you hear, if you've actually heard, there is faith in what you have heard. That thing that you have heard, if you retain what you have heard, that it has a faith gift. Every hearing you hear of spiritual things has a faith dividend, some measure of faith that it will. I think you were saying that there's a faith that hearing delivers to the soul. Amen. But when it's now whether you I give you a gift, you take it home. Do you want to leave it there or do you want to open it and see what's inside? You get that. I think that's what you were saying, that you want to how to engage the faith. And we have to engage the faith. Otherwise, without engaging faith, you won't have access to all the blessings. Because that faith is, say, we should contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. Everything that's been delivered to us is within the provisions of faith. So if we want to, there's a reason why the word of faith preceded the word of righteousness. All right, why there couldn't be the word of righteousness, I mean, in terms of dispensations of the word of God on the earth, there couldn't be word of righteousness without the word of faith. And that word of faith, it wasn't 1 year, 2 years. It was, you know, decades. Actually, it was actually transgenerational. Amen. The level of faith that Smith Wigglesworth and co had, right, was not, it's not the same level of faith understanding, expression that people like Daddy Hagin and co had. And when it got to Wigglesworth's time, it has evolved. Right, you want to go to the present dispensation of faith which we have, when it began to spark, you have to go back to the, you know, after the Dark Ages, Martin Luther, who had the revelation that the just shall live by faith. That's what brought Christianity back, right? Christianity was gone before. For all intents and purposes, effectively, it was gone. But what brought it back was a spark of revelation of faith. It's the just shall live by faith. So without faith, there is no life. Right, it shall live, as it is written, almost like five times or so in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Shall live, not might, shall. It's just is a shall thing. When it comes to life and faith, is it what? It's a shall thing, man. Shall means shall. It's not, you can't live except faith. So when faith was lost, life stopped. For centuries on the earth, life actually stopped in terms of the souls were dry. You hardly find a transaction of life ongoing in the church because the revelation of faith, they did things that were injurious to faith life, to faith living. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And in order for there to be a spark, there had to be a revelation of faith, that faith is the fundamental, faith is the basics, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And so the season of faith, word of faith, which introduces introduction to faith, you know that. The word of faith is introduction to faith. The word of faith is what teaches you just how to, just basics, fundamental, ABCs of faith. You know that Hagin had a message like that, the ABCs of faith, just the simple principles of faith. Then, after learning ABC of faith, you have to move into faith. Now the actual purpose for faith, right, which is for life. Glory to God. So if you want to, you can use faith to get many things. In the milk of the word, they will say, I want to teach you about faith. Now try to use faith to get money. You try it, it will work. You are learning the fundamentals of faith. Jesus himself taught the fundamentals of faith in Mark 11. That's what he was teaching, that if any of you, anyone whosoever shall say, and all of that, and believe his heart, in his heart, does not doubt the fundamentals. Those fundamentals can never be broken. Just check it, what Jesus was saying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And then it was talking about you use faith to talk to mountains. For the, you know, Jesus was, his mind, how, you know, when he's bringing example, how he will use it, the analogy, you know, it's like an analogical thing. It's not like these guys have mountains they want to move, literally. It's figurative. A mountain is a high thing which would not move. Men should not be thinking of making mountains move. It's not a normal thing that men should be thinking, oh, hey, how can we move that mountain? It's not a problem that occurs to men. If a mountain is there, once you get to the mountain, you stop. Let's go home. There's a mountain there. Forget about it. Don't think of moving mountain. So that thing is an impossible thing that men can't devise to do with their own mind. And Jesus said, let's use this example. Of let's find an impossibility that a man will not think of doing. So before a man starts saying unto this mountain, something's already happened to him. I mean, he's not a normal fellow. That's why you can't bring faith to a normal person. Like you can't go to your work now and call the smartest guy and say, all these problems you've been trying to solve, I have another solution that you can use. It's called faith. You understand? You can't do that. Why? Because the usage of faith is not for normal people. It's not, faith is not something used to solve normal problems, like regular problems on the earth. And so those who use faith are already out of their mind somehow. Right? You must be out of your mind to think faith. If you are in your natural, corruptible element, you won't think faith. You think strategy. You think how to do it. You think networking. You think marketing. You think all kinds of things. But you won't think about what faith. So really, the new birth is a fundamental thing that was done to your soul to make you weird. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain something to you. When I say weird, I don't mean weird in a superficial way. I mean being weird in a substantive way, in that once you are born again, you begin to consider things that are strange to men. You move into a new field of problems which men don't think of solving. Right? Problems which men don't think of solving. What is a mountain? A mountain is an anomaly that everyone takes for granted. The earth is flat. We now see one high part that just goes up like this and comes up. Why are you high? There's no answer. What can we do about you? There's no answer. What, you're an anomaly? Well, let's just walk by. So they'll tell you, that mountain, you know, that's one of the purposes of salvation, is to deal with anomalies in the terrain. Terrain means talks about the heart. And in the season of salvation, it's every mountain shall be brought low. The valley is also an anomaly. You raise it up. Let's level things up. But those are anomalies that men don't have solution to. So they build their life around it. Nobody thinks of solving the problem of a mountain because there's no resource naturally to do that. But when you get born again, you become strange. You begin to face impossible task, impossible problem. You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So even though when you look at this verse, it sounds like Jesus was just teaching milk of the word, just have faith to get your needs met, but it's not really true. Even though it can be reduced easily for that, but the concept of it is way deeper. I can tell you, what Jesus was seeing as a mountain here was not school fees or food to eat or something, grocery money, or how to pay your bills. When they think of mountain, they know what mountains are in the spirit. Jesus and the Father have discussed about the mountains that are in men. Glory to God. They know what are the real mountains. They know what things ought to be moved. And those are things that are hindrances. They are deformities within the landscape of the souls of men. They are irregularities. You see, a person, something that ought not to be there will be there, and is high and mighty, and is immovable. When you see the souls, you see mountains, you see hills, you see valleys, you see all kinds of things that have been done by the enemy on these animals. So, and Jesus is teaching really what faith is about. So, is first of all, you have to have the craziness, the weirdness to speak to a mountain. You get Christianity, you can have, and this is what Satan has done, that you can have Christianity churches, all manner of variations, doing Christianity for decades, and no one ever addressed the mountains in men. Right? Because you have to be out of your mind as a man to speak to a mountain and talk to a mountain to move and to go. We are not trained that way as Christians, but that's what the word of righteousness is actually meant for. So the word of righteousness is like the word of faith, but it is now trying to use faith for its original intent, which is the moving of the mountains in men. Is to, right? To move what? Is to, the purpose of faith, are you hearing me? Is anybody listening to me this morning? The purpose of faith is to move immovable things. Things that are not movable. What is really a mountain? A mountain are not just, it's not worldly nature. Because mountains are almost as old as the earth. They are old installations. Right? They are not, mountains are not artificial. Praise God. Mountains are not what? Artificial. Mountains appear on the earth. You don't know the laws, the geographical laws that make mountain appear in some places. And in other places, it has to do something. It has something to do with the DNA of the earth. It's a core problem. Do you see that? So, for the moving of mountain, it says that whosoever shall say, that's the beginning. Whosoever shall say, that one is a big thing. First of all, to get men to begin to speak to mountains, is not that easy. So you now realize that. The purpose of Christ is to actually raise men who talk to mountains. Another way to define it is the reason purpose of Christ is to capacitate people to begin to take impossible tasks, things that are what impossible. You know, Jesus was touching those things with man is impossible. Right? But with God it's possible. You ask him, it's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. He was teaching about those things, glory to God. Things that are in the realm of impossibility. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That those are the things that are meant to solve. Now let me tell you something. Everything the devil does is impossible to man. Every work of the devil is impossible to man. Every work of the devil is impossible. It's impossible. Man cannot remove what Satan, the enemy, the devil himself, has built in men. Praise God. So, faith, it doesn't matter how little faith is expressing. Faith it can be expressing for a little minor thing when they are training you. But when you think of faith as an entity, faith has its exact purpose in the spirit. The purpose of faith is what you call the end of faith. In 1 Peter, praise God. What they call the end of faith in 1 Peter? What is the salvation of the soul? Is to remove the problems, remove the irregularities, remove all the issues. All these actually for the removal of all the works of the devil, which Jesus is revealed for, or is manifest, which is what the Son of God is manifest to do, to destroy all the works of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying that if whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou moved, and then cast into the sea, and he said, does not what? Doubt in his heart, but believe that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. He shall have whatsoever he said. Glory to God. Now, go to the next verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall receive them. 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, and that your Father also, which is in heaven, may also forgive you your trespasses. So Jesus has spoken about the law. He's now beginning to say, okay, now when you stand praying, now if you ask anything to be done, but so as soon as he began to teach about faith, he spoke about the basic nature of faith. The basic nature of faith is that faith does not fail. It's actually sure. When you read verse 24, praise God, you say that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall do what? You shall have them. The word believe there is to a person who is in the milk of the word, you are believing God for some money to solve a problem. Now, when you stand praying, you pray and pray, right? Until you believe. Right? Now, what is that belief? You believe that you receive them. You believe that you, and that's what faith in milk of the word is. You must believe. In other words, the soul must actually have, through faith, received them. So there's a way you can receive money through faith. you believe. The moment you have recollected it by faith, what will then happen? You shall have them. That shall means that things will just begin to happen. They'll check, why is all this money looking for that man? Is it because he has received it? I say, hey, he has received it. Okay, there's nothing we can do. It's already done. The natural must align with the spiritual. You understand? So you see, the level of faith is to receive it in the spirit. Now, it's very easy to receive money because you know everything about money. You know what the note looks like. You know what it can buy. You know the conversion rate. There's hardly anything about the money you don't know. So receiving it is not hard. Just in you just know you can just see everything tied to that money. Your soul can take it. And then you can receive it. If there's any doubt about any aspect, you can settle it and then you receive it on your inside. And then what will happen? When you receive it, things will begin to move favor you. You understand that? Now why did I say that? It's because of the law of faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? Yes, it's the evidence of things not seen. Yes, sir. Right? So, it means that faith for money is money. Yes. Yes, you get, right? You understand what I'm just saying? Uh-huh. So that faith for money is money. So it's just the form of money that is the substance and the evidence that can stay inside. Once it appears, then you see the physical money will begin to look for you. That's how it works. Because faith is that thing. It's a way of having something, though it hasn't appeared yet. That's the law of Hebrews 11 was teaching. By faith we understand that the worlds were not framed by the word of God, and things which are seen are not made out of things which do appear. So things that are seen are not made of things which do appear. It means things that are seen are made of things that are not seen. Yes, sir. Right? Now, what is that unseen? The unseen version of what should appear is faith. Yes, sir. Right? That unseen version is, once that thing is in your heart, you have it, it will begin to come. It will, the way things, there are forces. That's one thing you have to understand about faith. Faith is tied to God's creative power. That's what makes faith very special. Once you have faith, faith starts calling powers in God that you don't even know. If they say, call those powers, you don't even know their name. You don't know how to call them. You understand? But all they would do to you, they told you to do is simple, just have faith. Faith understands all the departments of powers, abilities, graces, creative power, formative power, all kinds of powers in God that can bring those things to pass. Faith knows them. But you just need to be able to receive the substance of faith in your heart. Then things begin to move because of faith in the heart. There's nothing more powerful than faith in the heart of a man. Satan knows it. Hell knows it. Everybody knows it. Check the ministry. You know, Jesus was one of the main things he was teaching about in his ministry, demonstrating, because you know this is the doorway, is faith. So he spent a lot of his ministry, even though he was teaching, saying things. But when it came to a lot of the demonstration miracles in his life, what he kept demonstrating was the power of faith. Now just check it, the core of what Jesus was doing. It was because you know that those men, they didn't know anything about faith. Faith was foreign to them. So you must begin to demonstrate Jesus through signs, wonders, miracles, acts, all of those things, began to show faith in different varieties, different operations, different way of usage, different way of contacting. Faith that engages anointing. Faith that does not engage anointing. No anointing is spirit, it's just spirit that can flow. Like the woman, issue of blood, she used her faith to touch the garment. Not everybody was touching, nothing happened. But because of the substance in her, she had touched the garment, then that faith in her began to pull virtue from Jesus. So it means that the faith knew what is inside Jesus, and he, hey, oh yeah, move. You understand it? Faith was talking to anointing. Anointing can never disobey the voice of faith. That thing has been settled since. They've agreed. Anytime you call, I will answer. Power's answer to faith. So as soon as she put out this thing, it was the faith that was pulling it out. You understand? And the woman got healed. That's just one version. Then centurion came. Just went to go to his house to lay hands. He said, no. I know of another method. I know that all the centurion's revelation was just that. I know this is just about power. There's power somewhere. And that power is needed in my house. So it's just how to get the power there. And I know that that kind of power can't be limited by distance. You just use calculation. He knows that he is a centurion. He serves Caesar or whoever. Caesar is in Rome, but he has powers. I'm standing here. I'm standing by his power. I'm a man under authority. I understand how power works. So is this thing power? If it's power, we know how power works now. Power is not localized. We said, no problem. Let's just use the remote method. Let's just use the remote method. Just say it. Now, why could Jesus say it and it will work? Because the faith was already, he has already, everything about that healing was already, and just, I've not found such faith in Israel. You get, so let me tell you a secret about faith. All faith are not the same, right? What really characterizes a faith is what powers in God it can call. Do you see that? What you call great faith, little faith. There are different kinds of faith. But what characterizes a faith is that what kind of power can this faith engage? If a man has this faith in him, what kind of powers can he engage? Hallelujah. That's why they are different. Someone can have a faith in him that can call power that opens eyes, but doesn't have the faith that can call power that makes the lame to walk. Do you know that? That's some things people don't know about working of miracles, using gift of the Spirit, using different things. That's why sometimes you wonder, this person just did this miracle. Every time he prays for headache goes away. Why can't he just take it and pray for, raise the dead or something? You get what I'm saying? And Jesus acknowledged when they were trying to cast out devils. He said, this kind. He said, say kind. Now, does that kind, can you generalize that towards casting out devils generally? I don't think so. Is it kind? Because when Jesus sent them out, 2 by 2, they casting out devils was one of the things they were doing. But that kind, so it means that the department of power and authority that's needed for that one to answer is at a different cadre from what they were currently operating with. And then he said, except by prayer and fasting. One thing that prayer and fasting can do is that prayer and fasting is to align a vessel. That's the purpose of prayer. Prayer is for the aligning of what? For aligning a vessel to touch authority. You say, what is authority? Authority is simple. Authority just means God. God is the only authority. So prayer is, that's why sometimes when you pray, if you're looking for, prayer is the answer to everything. In fact, Daddy Kenneth Hagin said, after decades of working with Jesus, he now began to say, it seems as though God can do nothing on the earth except by prayer. He arrived at that thing after some time of learning the Spirit, watching, interacting with the Lord Jesus. And then there's the way he said it, he didn't just stamp it though. It just became, based on experience, based on everything the Lord has said, it seems as though God can do nothing on the earth except through prayer. So that means that even when you say, you know, my prayer is just, it's war, it's revelation. I discovered that every revelation came because prayer occurred. Right, that prayer is for, the purpose of prayer is to align with authority. Authority means author. Authority means where it comes from, the source. And because men by nature, by default, are not aligned with the source. Men by nature are not aligned with God. And first of all, prayer actually mainly is alignment for receiving from God. You see, that's why you have to pray. When you are praying, sometimes you might not even know what you're praying for. Some prayers are just alignment. Most prayers are just aligning with God. Try it. Just pray for some time. God will start talking to you. And oftentimes, what he will talk to you about are things that were not occurring to you before. It's as if praying just does something. Praying is by itself is not a way to collect power and become powerful. Prayer is just alignment. Then when you are aligned, whatever is needed can be solved based on the kind of alignment that what the author permits for that time and for that. That's why they will say men ought always to forget about it, just be praying. If you know the reason why you ought to pray, you will not be praying. Some of the prayers you pray today can open the door for a visitation you have 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Some prayers you pray now can open the door for heaven coming to your child and being able to stay. And when an evil spirit will come and say, why are you giving preferential? Why are you preferring this one? They will say, alignment was done for this visitation. You don't know the kind of prayers that your parents have prayed, different kind of people have prayed. That's why prayer is powerful. You can never diminish the power of prayer. Some of the things we are in, that's why nobody can ever boast on anything. You can say we are the ones having revelation. You don't know who prayed. Some guys who prayed for you, they didn't see one thing. The Lord just empowered them to pray. There's a generation. How many people have been praying for revivals in the body of Christ? You think the word of God you are hearing has nothing to do with that? You understand what I mean? Glory to God. So you see, prayer is what? Powerful, because prayer brings alignment. Prayer brings alignment, not just for personal purpose. That's why we have intercession. Intercessory prayer is not aligning yourself with the authority of God. Intercessory prayer is the process where an intermediary can bring almost like force an alignment. It's not forcing, but can intercede for an alignment for a party who is not even agreeing to align. And then they will open doors of mercy. Mercy begins. Hey, come here. Say, I want to go, I don't like you. Hey, shut up. Hijack you. Mercy begins to hijack people because of prayers. Some of us were hijacked by mercy. It's not that anything that you did or anything like that. It's just hijacking of mercy. You say, you are so-and-so. You say, no, I'm not. Hey, it is when you were not there when it was concluded. You don't have a say. You are running away. They are pursuing you. They are putting roadblock for you. They are putting things for you. They are spoiling everything around you. When you say, no, I don't like all these things. I'm going to enjoy myself. When you get there, the enjoyment becomes sorrowful. Then you not come back. It's mercy that spoiled their enjoyment. Because they say that they will just take this one. There are some things you can never enjoy in this world anymore. Forget about it. We have deleted them. They are not for you. When everybody's happy, when you come, sadness will fill the air. After a while, they will detect you. You are the one who is causing. Like Jonah, right? You know, they fished him out. That's at some point. He knew before, you know, he raised up his hand at But he knew they would have fished him out. So he said, let me just volunteer. I'm the problem of this boat. I'm the one God is following. So if you want to be okay, let me just advise you, just through me. Forget about humanity being nice. This is a time of, because what is following me cannot be negotiated with. God is powerful. If you want to see God relentless, when it has to do with salvation, anything has to do with saving, God does saving to the end. Praise God. Even sometimes when you feel like, I'm getting discouraged, okay. I'm so weak now. This is the end. Hey, what am I going to do? You don't know that that thing was a part of the plan. They want to just expire some things, to show you some things, to clarify some things. If you thought somehow that you have some strength to do it, in that season they will just to show you that there's no strength for you to use. It's nothing. We are the ones who, it's us, all in all, it's us. In us, you live and move and have your being. We're everything. You understand what I mean? By your strength, you will not prevail. It's not by power, by mind, it's by my spirit. We are the ones who are all in all. That we might feel all in all. That we might be all in all. That's the purpose. And we must bring you to your strength, to your weakest. Remove, because in your strength is what? May is what? In your weakness, sorry. His strength is what is made. It's made perfect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love the song, with something bigger going on. Someone been something big. You know, sometimes you don't realize, you think it's about your liking Bible, praying, reading. It's not that. There's something bigger going on. So one of the things, when you're becoming spiritually enlightened, is when you now begin to understand. You see those things Jesus mentioned, faith, mercy, judgment. You see, those are the weightier. What it means is that that's where things are actually happening. It's not in your Bible study. It's not in the tithe. It's not all those things the Pharisee major on. They thought that's where they trap God. They say, God is our own because we pay tithe. They say, no, you don't know anything about God. What binds God to men are weightier things than that. Say, God, I just made that mistake. I've ended it. I know that. I know. In fact, I'm packing my bag before you come so you know that. Like Adam and Eve wanted to go, glory to God. To them, they just felt like, well, we have failed mankind, God. We failed everything. Thank you for, you tried and all of that. Who are we to even fellowship with you? We're just waiting here to go to hell. So we just said, let's just cover ourselves with leaves until you come and cremate us. And God say, calm down, remove the leaves, put this thing. We are just starting. The journey is not, I'm not afraid of your things. Do you understand what I mean? Some of us, you feel like, no, our God. And when God says, we are just starting. Say, though your sin be as scarlet, they will be as white. Doesn't matter how red. No, that scarlet means you've had tie with covenant with death till the point where you receive its coloration, its pigmentation. God says, I'm not afraid of that. It will be as white as snow. As white as snow. Glory to God. So you see the guarantee of salvation are not in the do's and don'ts and all these. They are in the weightier matters. Those things that Jesus mentioned about. I see we are mostly ignorant about the weightier matters. When you now begin to move, if you want to cooperate with salvation, well, begin to learn about it. Just take time. What is faith? Lord, teach me faith. Teach me faith. I want to know faith. I pray for mercy too. Teach me about mercy. Teach me about judgment. Teach me about these things. Teach me about these matters. Glory to you. And we're talking about faith this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is one of the weighty things. Glory to God. Amen. Say faith.
Faith.
Faith possesses you and suggest strange things to you. Like speak to the mountain. This mountain can move. This, you know, when you're before a mountain, the last thing you would think about is it moving.
Yes, sir.
But whosoever who will say to this mountain, but not just saying, does not doubt in his heart, but believeth that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass. He said he shall have what? Whatsoever he said, glory to God. So just to show you that thing about faith. But Jesus went on and began to speak, but when you stand praying, glory to God, forgive. When you stand praying, what? When you stand praying, you have to forgive. So in Jesus' teaching, Jesus is now tying. Don't tell you that. You see, when you are praying, some things can stop alignment. You see?
Yes, sir.
To make the soul not align with God. Now, you know what? The mountain itself is a problem.
Yes, sir.
But there is the... Praise God. Amen. We can talk why this is going. He can't control himself. He's in the spirit. So please bear with him, okay? Just because of time, I want to quickly say it because we have to be out soon. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So there is a mountain that needs to be moved. That is a problem in itself. But Satan didn't just raise a mountain. He also then built things. He knows that faith, we must incapacitate the soul from aligning with faith. We have to weaken the ability to be able to. I know that. So that's like I said before. That's what Jesus saw as the first problem. Right. That's why he went about. That's what it kept being his lamentation. Well, I don't find faith. Where will I find faith? I've not seen such great faith in Israel. Oh, ye of little faith! Oh, not just kept lamenting about their faith. When he sees one tiny faith, he will magnify it. He will celebrate it. Because he knows that faith is the beginning. Meaning that Jesus was seeing problems in men because he knew men had issues. Mountains are in men. But before we even, this mountain will be dealt with at a future season. But before you can even deal with mountain, there's something fundamentally wrong. The concept, the heritage of faith has been lost with these people. So we need to bring back what those things. So there are some, what Uncle Tio is teaching today, are things that just spoil the faith.
Yes, sir.
And when faith is spoiled, there's nothing you can do.
Yes,
nothing you can do. It's just like, because no alignment. You can't align with God. Faith makes flow possible.
Yes,
flow of virtue, flow of power, flow of things, flow of spirit, flow of resources. The things we preach about, those things actually exist somewhere.
Yes,
there's a way they should come into your life.
Yes,
the actual things.
Yes,
well, faith is what opens up the pipeline.
Yes,
it's what creates the connection. It's what creates the alignment. It is the substance. So those things must reside in a way, in a spiritually substantive fashion in your heart before they can begin to come. And how will they come? Powers in God will begin to cause things, realignment. So one of the things that faith triggers are dealings. Right? What are dealings? Dealings are operations of power. Dealings are those things that will begin to occur in your life you can never orchestrate. That it takes power of he who controls all things to orchestrate those dealings in your life so that your faith will actually bear fruit. It's how they will bring the actual resources. You see, the actual salvation we are seeking for, the actual change, the what we call grace, we call truth, all the things that Jesus is full of that pertain to salvation, for them to flow into your heart, there are manner of dealings that must be orchestrated. But those dealings itself, when dealings will not start, right, until faith has been found in your heart. It is faith in your heart that produces dealings of the Spirit. What I mean, I just mean that plenty of words can be spoken to you. You with word and you without that word, as if you didn't hear the word, there will be no difference without faith. You understand? There will be no difference. What I mean is that because you've not engaged the realm of reality. Reality means the substantive dimension, the things that are the effectual workings of the Spirit that tampers with your life. Right? There's what you call the dealings of the Spirit, which is orchestration of God Himself around your life that will begin to tamper with your existence, to shift you, is to make you, to shift you into a place, into a form, into a zone, into a state, into a posture, into an alignment that will make graces, all of those things they want to bless you with, to flow into your life. So faith is actually the tool of engagement with spiritual reality. Without faith, it will not be real. You won't have real engagement. You just be another, and that thing is so bad. You know, now imagine the pain of hearing something, but there is no power. Right? The power to actually bring the realities to be in your life is not there because you said the word was spoken. But it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, what does that mean? They receive the word. The word is there. It doesn't mean the seed of the word is potent. It's powerful. The word, nothing. The word has. Trust me, it has no problem. Don't fault the word. You know, people like faulting the word. After some time, some things are not working. This word. When which day will this perfection happen? You begin to fault the word. Let me tell you one secret. The problem is never the word. Even if you now find out later the preacher was a devil, it's still not the word. As long as it's the word. In fact, at some point, some trouble was breaking and Paul now began to say, look, whether they preach out of sincerity of heart or out of malice, it doesn't concern. It's beside the point. As long as the word is preached. All you need to do is just have the ability to discern the word. Is this God's word? You know that thing is, that's the key aspect. That's just what, and that's really what matters. Just, is this God's word? Once you check in your spirit, you've prayed about it, you do all your due diligence, however you are led, you've been taught to do that, and then at the end, the answer is yes, it's God's word. That's the point where you forget everything else, because nothing else matters. Okay, what about the delivery? What about the, you know, the way of the approach? What about the why not and all that? See, all those things around, they don't matter. It's the word. It's the word. Glory to God. Because when the word comes, you have the raw material. That word, the word of God is tied to so many things. That word is a guarantee. Take that word, after some time, you see what will happen, the word will now say, I'm not meant to dwell alone. I'm meant to mix with something in you. Right? That word, when it's in your heart, is meant to have some secretions. The word is radioactive. It's supposed to release some beams, some kind of signals from itself. It's a seed. The word of God is a radioactive, active seed. It doesn't just stay as long as, but you need the environment to make it begin to radiate. The environment is called heart. Just take it, it's by itself. Nothing will happen to it. It's like take a soil, a seed by itself, nothing will happen. But put it inside the ground in the right condition, it begins to bring on kind of manifestation. Things begin to happen. Same thing with the word of God. Put it inside the heart. After some time, we said, I should not be alone here in this heart. It will begin to radiate something called faith. It's because it said that this faith is what it must be mixed with. But you now realize that all this technology, ancient technology, it's been there since. Satan knows it. So the devil, after doing his work in men, will now say, okay, there will be a season when the word will come. No problem. It's just that there should be configurations in the soul to stop the radiation of the word. In other words, stop the word from producing faith. If the word doesn't produce faith, it won't be mixed with faith in them that heard it. It will just be there by it what? Itself. It will just be there by it what? By itself. Glory to God. But when that allowing the word to release faith is what Jesus was saying, believe. Right? What is that thing? What am I calling faith, really? What is that faith? Faith is this. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a feeling, no. Like somebody who doesn't have money. I'm using the simple ones to explain the spiritual ones. Praise God. You don't have money. Now, you want to have faith for money. At what point do you have faith for money? It's not when you now feel good, you feel rich. Feeling rich is not having faith. Right? That's now I feel rich, so yeah, faith is there. No, it's not. Faith is not feeling. Faith is creation of substance. It's not a feeling. It's let that word. There's something you must do with that word. And what you must do with it is allow it. Is allow it. Allow it. You now discover that when the word comes, some things in you that Satan has put there before starts talking against the word. Really? So you mean you're going to get money? How is it just going to happen? Look, where is it going to come from? Everywhere is tight. Those are talk. Well, all those talk is for, you see, Jesus said it, believe and shall not doubt. And you see that thing called doubt? There are programs within the soul designed to talk when word comes. Yeah, doubt is part of the nature. You understand what I mean? What Satan is protecting is inside. When that house hears that word is coming, it will release army of doubt. They will now run outside the gate to go and start talking. No, there's nothing here for you. Nothing is happening here. This is just a bush. Nothing. There's nothing. You don't even have any business being in this place. There's no development here. This is not a developed community. There's nothing here. There's nothing. Go. You see that place there? All the merchants are there. All the civilizations are there. It's diverting attention. That's what I'm using graphically to explain to you what doubt does. What is doubt? Doubt turns the focus of the heart from the point of what the word is saying. Do you understand me? There's a way you think doubt are saying, God will say, I will do it. Doubt will say, I won't, you can't do it. God will say, it will happen. No, doubt is not like that. That is not doubt. Doubt is a type of ignoring. The word doubt is the root word of when something is dubious. Dubious. It's dubious, it's skillful, it's an evasive kind of nature. Doubt is the ability to for evasiveness concerning what the Word of God is actually saying.
Hey.
To turn away the attention from what the Word of God wants to do.
Hi.
So, doubt, a man's doubt, sir, you have your own. You have your own, sir. I have my own. They are built into your nature. They are built into foresight of evil spirits, into things you're going to encounter in your life. And how do they know what you will encounter? Because they know their investment. They know that because this is what we put in the heart, the word that they will send here is the word to destroy this thing. So let's build all the doubt conversation. Such that when the word that's coming against that building, right, arrives, your nature must have something to say. And it's not fighting the word, it's ignoring, it's turning your attention. Everybody has a program to turn your attention from the word of God. Everybody has a program. It's a very mysterious program. You end up realizing that word never profited you. You think back, hey, how was School of the Spirit 2024? It was a nice time. We had a good time. We just were together. We ate. The food was nice this year. In fact, they were everything. And then you ask, okay, what about the word? The word. Yeah. It was a nice meeting, I remember, Daddy taught, those are remarks. Yeah, what happened? Okay, but did you plan not to remember the word? You didn't plan not to remember. Did you plan not to profit with it? In fact, when you were sitting down there, I will profit. Yeah. In fact, we felt like this year, from here, we are going to the New Jerusalem. It's like 2023, 2024, then world to come. Remember when we were crossing over, right? Calibra Shundria, Tali Prasunte Ligre into. You feel like we have crossed over. Now, did anything come and talk to you? That thing Daddy just said, let's ignore it. No. It's a skillful thing. It's in your nature, it's in your program. It's a guarantee. They trust it. It has to do with how our nature flows. That this thing will not mix with faith. Glory, we have to go home. Amen. This is what I'm describing to you. So that faith to allow faith to arise is not that easy. That's what Uncle T was actually teaching. There's a kind of consciousness. Imagine Jesus is laboring. Jesus laboring. You know, he took those 12. He took his disciples. Is to break through into something. He did it. He did it to a point. He knew he has done enough. So that when Holy Ghost come, they will hear. It is clear that for those men, a breakthrough has occurred. To make them not depart, not run away. Right, to stay in Jerusalem. That was a season of heat. There was heat around. To stay, they were looking for the disciples of Jesus to kill them. At that time. But they shouldn't depart. And then when Peter came, the Holy Ghost came, Peter began to preach. You now see, from that time the church was born. The church began to ride upon the legacy of faith, which is the legacy of the what? Invisible and the unseen. They started with miracles and all of that until God came to Paul and then began to teach Paul of now another. Because faith, they've used faith so much. You remember when they were speaking about the fullness of the Holy Ghost? They said, choose men full of faith and full of the. So those were the criteria of the church at that time. Right? Full of faith. When it comes to faith, they have become at home with faith. How was it proven? They took the things that they were able to now retain what Jesus told them. You know, Jesus was training them small. He was sending them two by two. doing this one, that one. He was training them about faith. After some time, they became at home with it. One of the things that they had mastered is what you call faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord. That beautiful gate. You see, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. They become masters of what? Of faith. What is mastery of faith? They can hold a word. Right? Something in their heart. And let that thing create this substance, even though it hasn't yet appeared. So they could stand before the man at the beautiful gate. He said, silver and gold I have none. When he said that which I have, what did he have? He means that his healing was in their pocket. His new legs was in their pocket. Your new legs are what? Jesus has taught us how to carry things. Though they don't yet appear, but carry them. That's what they learned from Jesus. They brought 5 loaves and so many fishes to Jesus? 2. But Jesus has already produced many. And so he told them, we are start sharing it. Sharing what? 2. Jesus said, you don't even understand anything. Can't you see this place full of bread? Jesus knew when the bread came. He just saw it. Oh, yeah, start sharing it now. And I say, okay, how will I? Okay, you like us doing strange things anyway. Okay, let's. They started sharing it. What happened? As they are sharing it, bread began to come from the invisible. You understand what I mean? Faith. So that faith Jesus had is a creative power. He had faith that could talk to a creative element in God that literally make matter appear. So they learned those things from Jesus so they could also tap that faith. Let legs come. That which I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's what they were doing until then. Jesus now said, okay, you've enjoyed all this one. It's time to now begin to contact other powers. He now said, we have to go to a different man altogether. Saul of Tarsus. Because this operation of faith is different. The other guys might mix it to make it clean. Let's go to a fresh guy and begin to talk to him about faith from scratch. Teaching a Pharisee from scratch. Right? What kind of faith? He said, you will open blind eyes, turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Right? So that they will have what? An inheritance. Among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he began to teach the faith of sanctification. What is faith of sanctification? This person is touching on cleanness. He's not clean. Right? That faith, you see, is, can you receive your holiness before it appears? Right? That's just it. That's all it is. That's all it is. Can you receive holiness before it appears? Can you receive shame? Can you have the shame who doesn't touch the unclean thing before she appears? Are you seeing that? The way it operates can be different, but the core principle is not the same. It's the same, sorry. That's why they were teaching to the Hebrew church. Not those lessons of Hebrews are core principles that they have left behind. One of them was faith. That's what they devoted chapter 11 to. You can't forget faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the what? The evidence of things. It's by faith that the elders, they obtained what? A good report. Glory to God. See chapter 11 about faith. Then chapter 12, those two chapters, they are about faith. Teaching faith back. 11 went into the faith of the fathers. Then chapter 12 started with our faith. Jesus being the author and the word finisher. So you must look. When you say looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, it means that when you are looking at him, that's where you tap the visage of the substance, what that faith is speaking concerning. Amen. So when you're hearing the word, when you are hearing the word, that word, you must have that attitude that this word I just heard, it must mix with faith in me. It must. It has to mix with faith in me. It has to mix with faith in me. Glory to God. You hear, so you have faith. Faith will come by hearing. And that hearing by the word. Glory to Jesus. That when you see that how that hearing of faith is coming by the word is when the Lord, the word begins to radiate. But you must let it radiate on the inside of you. Allow it. Allow it. Take it in your heart. Let it now begin to create invisibility of substance on your inside. Before grace visit your soul, you must have had grace by faith. Do you understand that? See, these are the things that Paul knew, that Jesus taught Paul. You know what I'm teaching you now? Jesus explained those things to him, right? Glory to God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. By faith, we have access by faith into this grace. Nobody will ever have grace who has not taken that grace inside and used it. Right? Nobody will ever actually do, let's say, forgiveness if you haven't inside you tap forgiveness, you forgiven and rejoiced. If you've not already done it on the inside, there's a way that word will create the, are you getting what I'm trying to say? That stain on the inside of the soul. Glory to God. You will have what you call the substance and the evidence. This is the evidence, so it's a substance. You now discover that the natural obeys to substances and evidence. So, because faith makes us understand that things which are seen are not made what of things which will appear. What are examples of things which are seen? Your righteousness, your holiness. Right? Everything about your life, your salvation. You know, salvation will appear. Before salvation will appear, it must have sat in you first, substantively, by faith. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. So you see, faith creates, that's how you know that you are now, that faith is beginning to manifest. You discover that even though you have not seen the fruit yet, the result yet, but you know some things are happening. You begin to smell activity in your life. That's not you. You're not the one doing it. Somebody is doing something in your life around this area. It's because of faith. The faith has called powers in God. What do you say? The trying of your faith. Right? That trying of your faith means the trials which the faith will bring. Right, yes, which being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might abide. When you say fire are things. Fire can be scenario, situation. Fire can be all kinds of operations of power around your life. It might be found unto praise and on what honor and glory at the appearing of who? Jesus, whom having not seen you love. But though now you see him not, are you seeing the law? Is what I just described, they are describing to you, whom you haven't seen yet. But now, don't you see him not, yet believing. Glory to God. If you will understand this principle, this is just the answer. What to do with the word? This is just, most people don't know it. In a season where the Lord is talking, there are some things you ought to be doing with the word. This is what you do with the word, yet having not seen. It's not about having seen it. Oh, pastor has preached that you'll be this, you'll be that. Then leave that for now. How it will appear, you don't know. You know, Jesus spoke about when you sow the seed in the word, in the ground. And then the person who sows it goes to sleep. But yet, after some time, it will begin to spring forth, him knowing not how. He says, he will know not how it will occur. It's a secret. It's not your concern. But there are things that you ought to do. Glory to God. So now you see him not. You see that yet believing. Yet believing is what? An activity of the heart wherein you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable. Can you take a word and rejoice on it? Rejoice on that word until you become speechless concerning it. Glory to God. Until glory begins to emanate. Glory of what? Glory not of the former, glory of the latter. You begin to smell the glory of that, of the change, the glory of the new estate, which the word. I'm just telling you that the word of God is not a dry thing. Take it seriously. Go home. What Uncle T was saying. Just stay with that word. You see that word has everything. Glory to God. It's not even an iota. Says, so shall it be. Say, so shall it be. Can you say, so shall it be? Shall again. You mean it won't fail sometime. It's, so shall it be. How many words? Every word that goeth forth from my mouth shall not return to me void. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. For it shall, Lord, prosper in the word thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12. It says that, for ye shall not, the one you just showed me before. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Okay, don't worry. Because of time. You get my point. Amen. That the word, every word is powerful. If you feel like the word is not working, you're not doing something right. Just know that. Then just ask, what are the things I'm not doing? It's not about maybe the way he's preaching it. Maybe there's a way you need to be preaching. There's a way to... No. There's something about the heart. Is it the word of God? It has power to produce. Say, so shall it be. It will not return void, but it will do what? Prosper. What? In that thing. Glory to God. There is so much prosperity ahead of us. Do you see that? Do you believe me?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you believing me because I just said it? Why are you believing me? Isaiah 55, verse 11. Are you stronger than the word? Do you have power to make it not prosper? You can't stop it. As long as you align with what you need to do with the word in your heart. The Lord will grant grace to everyone.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I see seasons of prosperity.
Amen.
Just grace to prosper. We just begin to have grace to prosper.
Amen.
Just having grace. Grace to prosper. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. You will prosper. You will prosper. You will prosper. The word of God in your heart will prosper. You will come, it will begin to bear fruit. He said 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. So shall it be unto you in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom for prosperity. Grace for prosperity. How to make the word bring forth. Receive that empowerment. In the name of Jesus. The Lord said, I'll begin to strengthen your heart against doubts, against the elusiveness, against the cunningness of doubt, that nature of ignorance that want to ignore, make you ignore your salvation. The Lord said, I'll begin to strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit, as Jesus Christ said, he said that Spirit will bring to your remembrance so all that has been said, that Spirit will begin to operate in your heart in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sharing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.